chilling the world. I stay tuned to the Famous Podcast. It's the hottest message out there.
When I'm always chilling, I'm always tuned in to Fame. He has the hottest podcast out there.
Oh, yes. Very informative.
When I'm home chilling, I'm always tuned in to Fame. He has the hottest podcast out here.
When I'm home chilling the world, I stay tuned to the Famous Podcast. It's the hottest message out there. Hey, y'all. When I'm at the spot just chilling, or when my car just driving around, I always listen to Faze. He keep it real. He say it was real. And that's one of the hottest podcasts around. I definitely suggest it. Check them out.
Can we just talk? Can we just talk about where we're going before we get lost? Let me our thoughts. Can't get what we know without knowing.
Black women, wear your natural hair. Wear your natural hair. You don't need all those other accessories. Wear your natural hair. And if you have to wear extensions, or if you have some type of medical condition like alopecia or some other health underlying health issue, wear extensions that look like your natural hair. But wear your hair. Appreciate who you are. Put you a little, tiny little bit of makeup on to complement your features. Just a little. You don't need to be couture on your face. That's what transgender women do, because they have to do that because they're trying to create features to look like you, black women. Wear your natural hair. Take the eyelashes out. We don't need to be seeing them eyelashes all the way up here. They look like windshield wipers. Or if you're going to wear eyelashes, make sure it's very, very light and subtle to where we can barely tell. Because I'm telling you guys right now that a lot of y'all single-handedly look like clowns. You are beautiful just the way you are. It is a damn shame that I see black women coming up on this app saying, oh, my hair ain't done, and you rather wear a scarf over your head than to wear these beautiful strands of hair that's coming out your scalp. That's absolutely beautiful and mind-blowing. And it's connected to the sun. Do you love yourself? Or do you love someone else's culture that you are attempting to look like? Wear your natural hair. You're beautiful just the way you are.
Shocking turn of events that has sent ripples across the international community, the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, have announced a groundbreaking joint military alliance. This unprecedented move has not only raised eyebrows in diplomatic circles, but has also left Israel and the United States in a state of shock and uncertainty. The announcement made during the BRICS summit held in an undisclosed location marks a significant shift in global power dynamics and has far-reaching implications for the world order. The BRICS alliance, which was originally established as an economic cooperation group in 2006, has gradually evolved into a multifaceted partnership encompassing political, economic, and now military aspects. While the economic cooperation among BRICS members has been a well-documented phenomenon, the sudden pivot towards a military alliance has caught many by surprise. The decision to form a joint military alliance was reportedly driven by a shared concern among BRICS nations regarding the global balance of power and the growing influence of the United States and its allies. In recent years, the U.S. has flexed its military muscles in various parts of the world, often invoking concerns about unilateralism and an overreach of power. This perceived American dominance has prompted BRICS nations to seek a more equitable distribution of global power. One of the key factors that have fueled this move is the growing closeness between the United States and Israel, particularly in the realm of defense and military cooperation. Israel, with its advanced military technology and strategic importance in the Middle East, has become a crucial ally of the U.S. in the region. This alliance has not only provided Israel with military support, but has also bolstered its position in the face of regional adversaries. The announcement of the BRICS military alliance has therefore sent shockwaves through Washington and Tel Aviv. The U.S. and Israel have viewed BRICS with suspicion, considering it a potential challenge to their dominance in global politics. However, the formation of a military alliance among BRICS nations has escalated their concerns to a new level. One of the immediate questions arising from this announcement is the nature and scope of the BRICS military alliance. While details are yet to be fully disclosed, it is clear that this alliance is not aimed at aggression or provocation. Rather, BRICS nations have emphasized their commitment to maintaining international peace and stability. The alliance is seen as a counterbalance to what BRICS nations perceive as a unipolar world order dominated by the United States, China, and Russia. As the two largest and most militarily capable nations within BRICS, will play pivotal roles in shaping the alliance's objectives and capabilities. China, with its rapidly modernizing military and economic prowess, has the potential to provide significant resources to the alliance. Meanwhile, Russia, with its vast military expertise and extensive armaments industry, brings a wealth of experience to the table. India, often viewed as a swing player in this alliance, has a delicate balancing act ahead. With long-standing relations with both Russia and the United States, India will need to carefully navigate its role in the BRICS military alliance to avoid alienating its strategic partners. South Africa and Brazil, although less militarily influential than their BRICS counterparts, will nonetheless contribute to the alliance's diplomatic strength. The immediate reaction from the United States has been one of concern and skepticism. The Biden administration, which has been
So, I ain't want y'all to sleep on this, fam. You see how they pump China, they pump Russia, and then they downsize Africa and Brazil. Africa. Y'all don't feel that certain type of way? That y'all look at Africa as a little boy? A non-threat, just a resource, because right now they're using you as just a resource. See, if Africa came to be one continent, one army, nobody can stop you. Y'all have the biggest, the strongest army in the world. Y'all don't want to be big brother. Y'all don't want to be the one with the big kahunas. So y'all fall back and be baby brother.
Actively engaged in reestablishing its global alliances, now faces the prospect of a resurgent BRICS alliance, challenging its dominance in various arenas. This move comes on the heels of the U.S. withdrawing from Afghanistan, which has raised questions about its commitment to global security. Furthermore, the U.S.-Israel alliance has been a cornerstone of American foreign policy in the Middle East for decades. The possibility of BRICS nations challenging this partnership has sparked debates within Washington's policy circles about how to respond effectively. It remains to be seen whether the U.S. will adopt a confrontational stance or seek diplomatic engagement with the BRICS alliance. Israel, on the other hand, finds itself in a particularly precarious position.
The
Israeli government has long counted on unwavering U.S. support, both militarily and diplomatically, to safeguard its national security interests. The BRICS military alliance potentially threatens this special relationship, leaving Israel in a state of strategic uncertainty. Israel's response to this development is likely to involve a reevaluation of its diplomatic and security strategies. It may seek to deepen its ties with other countries, such as European nations or regional partners like Saudi Arabia, to offset any potential loss of support from the United States. Additionally, Israel's renowned defense industry may find new opportunities for collaboration with other countries, reducing its reliance on American military aid. One of the central concerns surrounding the BRICS military alliance is its impact on global security and stability. While BRICS nations have emphasized their commitment to peace, the formation of a military alliance inevitably raises questions about the potential for conflict and escalation. To address these concerns, BRICS nations have made it clear that their primary objective is to act as a counterbalance to existing power structures and promote a multipolar world order. They argue that a more equitable distribution of power is essential to preventing the unilateralism and military interventions that have characterized recent international relations. However, the challenge for BRICS will be to effectively communicate their intentions to the rest of the world and build trust among other nations. Transparency in their military activities, adherence to international laws and norms, and cooperation with existing security organizations like the United Nations will be crucial in reassuring the global community. Another important aspect of the BRICS military alliance is its potential impact on regional conflicts. The Middle East, in particular, is a region where the alliance's involvement could have significant consequences. Given the alliance's close ties with Iran, for example, it may exert influence in regional conflicts involving Iran, such as the ongoing tensions with Israel and Saudi Arabia. In response to this development, Middle Eastern countries are likely to reassess their alliances and strategies. Israel and Saudi Arabia, both long-standing U.S. allies, may seek to strengthen their partnerships with other countries to mitigate the potential impact of the BRICS alliance. On the other hand, Iran may view this development as an opportunity to bolster its position in the region. In the realm of cybersecurity and technological warfare, the BRICS military alliance could also have far-reaching implications. Both China and Russia have advanced cyber capabilities, and their collaboration within the alliance may lead to the development of sophisticated cyber warfare strategies and technologies. This could pose a significant challenge to Western countries, including the United States and its allies. The alliance's technological ambitions extend beyond cyber warfare as well. BRICS nations have expressed their intent to cooperate in areas such as space exploration and the development of advanced military technologies. This could potentially lead to innovations that reshape the global military landscape and challenge the technological superiority of Western militaries. It is important to note that the BRICS military alliance is not solely a response to the actions of the United States and Israel. BRICS nations have their own security concerns and interests that go beyond countering existing power structures. China's territorial disputes in the South China Sea, Russia's involvement in Eastern Europe, and India's regional challenges all play a role in shaping their motivations for forming this alliance. The BRICS alliance represents a complex web of
So again, Africa, you see how they sweep y'all under the ground? I ain't gonna let that slip. You got all the resources that the world need. All the resources that the world need to be successful. You have it in your country. But you see how they downplay you. You see they don't have no respect on your name. Get some respect on your name, Africa. I'm talking about the whole continent, the brotherhood. One Africa, one nation, one army. But, you know, hey. Yeah, they still gonna start still hitting y'all below the belly. Y'all might be so much in a delusional state that y'all don't even know y'all getting hit below the belly. I see it. I know what an uppercut looks like. I know when a cheap shot looks like. I know when somebody get body blowed and get ready to fold.
Break tonight between the United States and Israel after the U.S. refused to veto a U.N. Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accused the U.S. of changing its position on the war in Gaza and canceled a planned visit of his top aides to Washington. Nick Schifrin is here now with more on these fast-moving developments. Nick, what is it that happened today that led to this very public disagreement?
The UN Security Council today, for the first time in more than 5 months of war, demanded a ceasefire in Gaza. And it did so because, as you just said, the U.S. abstained on a vote. Resolution 2728, quote, demands an immediate ceasefire for the month of Ramadan, respected by all parties, leading to a lasting and sustainable ceasefire, and also demands the immediate and unconditional release of all the hostages. So while we keep up that text, just a few points. One, the holy month of Ramadan is already halfway over. Two, the word lasting was replaced because the U.S. asked for it rather than the quote, than the word permanent. And three, that paragraph there refers to a ceasefire and hostage release in the same paragraph. An earlier draft allowed those two things to be split, and that is what the reason why the U.S. abstained today, according to U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Linda Thomas Greenfield.
We fully support some of the critical objectives in this non-binding resolution, and we believe it was important for the Council to speak out and make clear that our ceasefire must, any ceasefire, must come with the release of all hostages.
But the resolution did not condition the ceasefire on the hostage release, nor did it condemn Hamas's terrorist attack of October the 7th. And that is why Netanyahu said today, hey, look, that's what you were calling for in your own draft resolution. You have changed your policy. That led to Netanyahu canceling this delegation that was supposed to arrive tomorrow to Washington. And it led to this statement by Israeli ambassador to the UN, Gilad Erdan.
Your demand for a ceasefire without conditioning it on the release of the hostages not only is not helpful, but it undermines the efforts to secure their release. To this council, Israeli blood is cheap. This is a travesty, and I'm disgusted.
In response to that, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby today tried to downplay what the U.S. had done. He said that the Israeli cancellation of the delegation was disappointing, but he also said, William, that Netanyahu was making a bigger deal of today's vote than it was actually.
We get to decide what our policy is. The Prime Minister's office seems to be indicating through public statements that we somehow changed here. We haven't. And we get to decide what our policy is. It seems like the Prime Minister's office is choosing to create a perception of daylight here when they don't need to do that.
So how serious do U.S. officials believe this rift really is?
I mean, Kirby, as he said, he's disappointed that the U.S. won't be able to detail their alternative to the assault on Rafah. Israeli officials say that an assault on Rafah is necessary because Hamas's final four battalions are based there. But two U.S. officials told me that the U.S. had planned to provide a detailed alternative to an assault on Rafah, more about targeting high-value members of Hamas, doing more to secure the Egyptian border, and allowing displaced Gazans to go home to central and northern Gaza. U.S. officials, frankly, are skeptical that Israel wants to hear an alternative to an assault on Rafah because all Israeli officials are convinced it's necessary, as we heard from Yoav Gallant, defense minister, who's visiting Washington as well today.
In my first meeting, which will be with National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, I will stress the importance of destroying Hamas and returning the hostages home. We will operate against Hamas everywhere, including in places where we have not yet been.
Not yet been is presumably a reference to Rafah. Bottom line, two U.S. officials also think that Netanyahu's playing domestic politics here because his coalition is at a particularly fragile moment. But look, there has been tension between the administration and the Israeli government today, particularly public.
Member Poland says a Russian cruise missile briefly violated its airspace on Sunday morning. Warsaw summoned officials from the Russian embassy to demand an explanation. Poland said the missile entered its territory as it was firing at targets in western Ukraine. The city of Lviv, close to the Polish border, came under heavy attack. Explosions also rocked the Ukrainian capital. Officials say air defenses shot down roughly a dozen missiles in and around Kyiv. Residents were told to remain in shelters. Poland says it would have shot down the Russian missile that breached its airspace if there had been any indication that it was heading towards a target in Poland. Here's what the defense minister had to say.
At 4:43 a.m., there was a violation of Poland's airspace by one of the Russian missiles. The object flew into Poland's airspace near the town of Oserdo in Lublin province and stayed on our territory for 39 seconds. It flew about 1,000 to 2,000 meters into our territory. At all times, the object was monitored by Poland's radio tracking systems. Beforehand, as I said, all strategic security measures were taken.
Strategiczne działania zmierzające do zapewnienia bezpieczeństwa.
Marina Moran is a military analyst with King's College London, and she joins us now from Munich. Good to see you as always, Marina. Is it reasonable to believe this was simply an accident, or is the trajectory of such missiles precisely predetermined?
Good day, Michael. Well, what we have to understand, there is a significant difference between cruise missiles and ballistic missiles. Cruise missiles fly at low altitudes. They are essentially, if you wish, like an unmanned aircraft. And so they have different guidance systems on board, such as terrain mapping, satellite navigation, and they have a degree of maneuverability in order to remain undetected, so to fly beneath the radar. So here is a possibility, while violation of airspace is a violation, regardless of whether it was 39 seconds or 3 minutes or whatever it might have been, the thing here, which we have to understand, the missile might have tried to evade certain air defenses located in Ukraine and therefore ventured briefly into the Polish territory. So you cannot say that you can completely determine the course of the missile.
Understood. So let me ask you this. According to the Polish army, the Russian missile violated Polish airspace for just under 40 seconds and flew 2 kilometers into Polish territory. How serious a violation is that?
Well, that's dependent on the Polish side to determine. Of course, and we have seen the Polish defense minister saying they knew that the missile wasn't targeting anything on the Polish territory. They were monitoring several missiles, I think up to 10 missiles, going to Lviv. Therefore, they knew that this missile wasn't an attack on Poland per se. And as I said, the missiles have small room of maneuverability in order to evade air defenses. Therefore, it is to assume that it wasn't an intentional incursion into Polish airspace and was not presenting any direct threat to Poland being a NATO member, which is why Poland didn't shoot it down.
You rightly bring up the fact that they were monitoring several missiles, multiple missiles. Briefly walk us through what might have happened, the general procedure, if you will, on the Polish side, if the radars suddenly reveal a Russian missile approaching.
Well, if such a missile approaches, obviously the Polish forces are put on high alert, the Air Force gets activated, and the missile will be monitored very closely, because there can also be a failure where a missile falls on the Polish territory, for instance, or whatever it can be. For instance, Ukrainian air defense is trying to shoot down that missile while it is in the Polish airspace. So there can be multiple scenarios. Therefore, it's understandable that once you detect such a missile flying, it's a hostile missile, you put your forces on high alert and get your aviation up in order to monitor the situation and prevent potential escalation.
Marina, here's the big question I'm sure everybody is wondering. Russian missiles have crossed into Polish airspace before. This has raised the alarm for NATO, of which, of course, Poland is a member. What mechanisms are in place to prevent Poland, and with it NATO, from being drawn into a war?
Well, in terms of the mechanisms, and we have seen it at work right now, the statements of the Polish defense minister acknowledging the fact that this missile was not targeting anything in Poland. Therefore, no active action or proactive action has been taken in order to shoot down the missile. If Poland had shot down the missile, that might have caused a chain reaction and, of course, a response from the Russian side. In this case, I do not think that there can be any response except for demanding an explanation from the Russian side. So you would likely use diplomatic mechanisms in order to clarify the situation rather than using any sort of kinetic force. And I think the Russian side and the NATO side, they're both very careful here.
Marina Moran from King's College London. Thank you, member Poland's.
Well, since this shocking attack in Moscow, we have some updates on what exactly has been going on in the last few hours. Authorities have confirmed they've detained 11 people in connection with this attack. Four of those are reported to have been the attackers inside Kroger City Hall. There was a total report, say, of five attackers. That potentially leaves one more unaccounted for. But we understand that four have been taken in for questioning. They were stopped in a car on the western border of Russia in the Bryansk region, which borders Ukraine. And in the last few minutes, security forces, media reports in Russia citing security forces have said they intended to cross the Russian border into Ukraine, and they allegedly had ties to Ukrainian intelligence. That's coming from Russian media reports, as I say, citing the secret services. Now, a lot of reports circulated in the aftermath of this attack saying that ISIS, or branch of ISIS rather, had claimed responsibility for this attack. The Russian media were very quick to downplay those claims, but they appear to have been backed up by Western officials at this point. So it remains to be seen exactly what the motives of these attackers were, if they were affiliated indeed with this terrorist organization, and of course, what nationality they are as well, what passports they held, because initially media reports say they found Tajik passports in the car. Tajik officials, the Tajik embassy was very quick to deny that. They said, we received no official requests from Russian authorities, let's stick to official information. So obviously, as that investigation carries on, it's very important to sift through potentially unreliable information that's coming through and what is coming through from the official authorities.
Yeah, and the official authorities, but we have yet to hear from Russia's president. Meanwhile, Daniel, there are a lot of images and messages circulating on social media. This is obviously something the city, the country is talking about. What are some of the reactions that you've been following?
Well, Moscow is a city very much grieving this morning. People are very much in shock on the billboards that usually see advertising products or films all over the city. They're all gone, the digital billboards. All you can see is one word, we are grieving, a candle, and the date of yesterday's attack. Medics, hospitals have said hundreds of people have turned up this morning to donate blood for the victims of this attack, though they say there is enough blood to go around, but people still keep coming and coming. There's a real sense of grief, as I say, in the city this morning. The Moscow mayor, Sergei Sobyanin, has cancelled public gatherings, has cancelled sports events. The Russian national football team has cancelled their friendly match with Paraguay. There's an increased security presence on the streets. That was particularly strong yesterday on the roads as well. I was stopped by road police as I made my way home for extra checks. There's increased security presence at transport hubs because of the risk in these sorts of cases of potential copycat follow-up attacks. So very much a heavy mood in Moscow this morning and an increased security presence to reassure people here in the city.
Paris had the Bataclan concert hall attacks back in 2015. In the aftermath of that, the witnesses, the survivors, spoke about a lot of the trauma they experienced during that attack. The people who made it outside of this, who survived this attack in Moscow, what have they been saying about what they witnessed?
Well, very many parallels with the tragic events in the Bataclan, as you rightly say. The witnesses have been giving some really harrowing testimony of what happened there in this attack. These shooters went in intent to kill as many people as possible. They were using automatic weapons. They set the theater on fire. People reported breaking windows to try to get out. They reported running around the theater, hiding wherever they could, in changing rooms, in toilets, in baby changing rooms. Tragically, many people, according to authorities, actually died from smoke inhalation when the fire spread as they tried to hide from these killers. People say they were trying to smash windows, trying to escape to the subway. These people were being shot at point blank range in cold blood in entire groups with automatic weapons. The phone signal was very poor in Moscow yesterday. The Wi-Fi signal was very poor, so people couldn't contact loved ones. People couldn't understand what was going on. They didn't know if their families and friends were alive or not. This was very much a shocking event for Moscow and for Russia as well. And no doubt we'll be hearing more of those very harrowing testimonies as the investigation continues.
Yeah, and there are certainly going to be some questions about intelligence failures, I think. The White House confirmed that it had warned Russia earlier this month about IS possibly targeting large gatherings in Moscow. Daniel, how rare is an attack like this in a country whose security and intelligence apparatuses have so much power?
Well, Russia suffered its fair share of terror in its history. It suffered some of the most high-profile attacks, the Beslan school siege, the Nordos theater siege, the jet being brought down over the Sinai, the bombings in the St. Petersburg metro. Those mainly, though, were nigh on 20 years ago. In recent times, Russia has pretty successfully tackled its terrorism problem, despite, of course, its involvement in Syria and its fight against terrorist groups there. So this is an unusually violent terrorist attack for Russia. Having said that, though, in the lead up to this attacks, to this particular attack, there were several incidents reported in March. Security services say they liquidated half a dozen ISIS-affiliated terrorists in the Caucasus in early March. They say they prevented an attack on a synagogue. They say they detained a terrorist commander. These were all events in the lead-up to this attack. And as you say, authorities in Russia, Moscow authorities, officials have pointed to those warnings by Western embassies, the US embassy, UK embassy, for people to avoid large public gatherings. And they've questioned as to why these embassies allegedly did not share that information. Now, Western officials have said, we did share that information, and media reports have since said here in Russia that indeed some information was shared, it just was not specific. So there's a lot of uncertainty about exactly what was shared, to what extent that was shared, how many details they were, and how, as you say, this was allowed to happen at a time when the country's embroiled in conflict, at a time when security is on a high level, there's a lot of security everywhere, how exactly this could have happened. And no doubt more information will come out in the coming hours and days about.
Dear citizens of Russia, I am writing to you in connection with a bloody, barbaric terrorist act, the victims of which were dozens of peaceful, innocent people, our compatriots, including children, teenagers, and women. Doctors are now fighting for the lives of the victims. Those who are in serious condition, I am sure that they will do everything possible and even impossible to preserve the life and health of all the wounded. I express special words of gratitude to the ambulance and air ambulance crews, special forces soldiers, firefighters, and rescuers who did everything to save people's lives, to get them out of the fire, from the epicenter of the fire and smoke, in order to avoid even greater losses. I cannot ignore the help of ordinary citizens who, in the first minutes after the tragedy, did not remain indifferent and indifferent, who, along with doctors and security officers, provided first aid, delivering the victims to hospitals. We will provide the necessary assistance to all families whose lives have suffered terrible misfortune, to the wounded and injured. I express my deep and sincere condolences to all those who have lost their relatives and friends. The whole country, our whole people, mourns with you. I declare March 24 a day of national mourning. In Moscow, in the Moscow region, in all regions of the country, additional anti-terrorist and anti-sabotage measures have been introduced. The main thing now is to prevent those who are behind this bloodbath from committing a new crime. As for the investigation of this crime and the results of operational search actions, at present we can say the following. All four direct perpetrators of this terrorist attack, all those who shot, who killed people, they were found and detained. They tried to hide. They were moving towards Ukraine, where, according to preliminary data, a window had been prepared for them on the Ukrainian side to cross the state border. A total of 11 people were detained. The Federal Security Service of Russia and other law enforcement agencies are working to identify and uncover the entire accomplice base of the terrorists, those who provided them with transport, who planned escape routes from the crime scene, who prepared caches of weapons and ammunition. I will repeat. Investigative and law enforcement agencies will do everything to establish all the details of this crime, but it is already obvious that we are faced not just with a carefully and cynically planned terrorist attack, but with a prepared and organized mass murder of peaceful, defenseless people. The criminals calmly and purposefully set out to kill, to shoot at point blank range our citizens, our children. Just like the Nazis once carried out massacres in the occupied territories, they decided to stage a show execution, a bloody act of intimidation. All perpetrators, organizers and customers of this crime will suffer fair and inevitable punishment, whoever they are, whoever guides them. I will repeat. We will identify and punish everyone who stands behind the terrorists, who prepared this atrocity, this blow against Russia, against our people. We know what the threat of terrorism is. We hope here to interact with all states that sincerely share our pain and that are ready to actually join forces in the fight against a common enemy, against international terrorism, with all its manifestations. Terrorists and murderers who do not and cannot have a nationality face one unenviable fate: retribution and oblivion. They have no future. Our common duty now, the duty of our comrades at the front, the duty of all citizens of the country, is to be together in one ranks. I believe that this will be the case, because no one and nothing can shake our unity and will, our determination and courage, the strength of the united people of Russia. No one will be able to sow poisonous seeds of discord, panic and discord in our multi-ethnic society. Russia has repeatedly gone through difficult, sometimes unbearable trials, but it has become even stronger. So it will be now.
Can we just talk? Can we just talk about before we get lost? Let me out of thoughts. Can't get what we know without knowing.
Every human being, demonic, facial demonic. What is this shit called? They know what's about to happen. And they saying, if you start to see it, people in a demonic form, oh, don't worry about it. It's you. You're the problem. You have a syndrome. If this ain't the craziest shit, a syndrome. Let's get this straight. I want the American people to share this. This video is for entertainment purposes only. So, if I start to see They preparing us for what they know is going to happen. So if I, who am a normal person, I start to see in people in their spiritual form, not this physical thing we've been blinded by, I have the syndrome. I want y'all to American people to know, you the one sick. If you start to see in people's spiritual realm, if the veil is beginning to get lifted, and you begin to see people in their true forms, you know why they saying this? Because some people are activating. Boy, y'all better not let me activate. Y'all better pray and hope I don't. This is the proof some people are activating. You walking down the street and you seeing somebody looking like that, you seeing them in their true spiritual form. They hurried up and tried to jump out in front of it by calling it, it's an illness, it's a syndrome. They ain't the ones sick, you are. They know. Everybody, if your frequency is on the right level, you finna activate and you finna start seeing people in looking like demons. Is y'all really ready for that?
These motherfuckers are threatening Russia now?
We're gonna win this war. It's gonna take the time it's gonna take, but we're gonna win this war. Afterwards, we're not forgetting what you are doing. We're not forgetting. We will come. We will make sure that Ukraine wins. We will make sure that you pay the price for what you have done. You as Russia, and you and as all the enemies of Israel, and you as all the people who are now making everything they can to support Jews in Israel. We are not forgetting. We are not forgetting. Remember exactly what I'm saying now. You will pay the price.
Amir, I think it's safe to say that this is a very passionate conflict that is happening here.
Well, people have been massacred. My people has been slaughtered by you.
See, you hear him right, fam. Talking about his people been massacred. They the one massacred my forefathers. They the one massacred and lived and built boats and everything to my forefathers. So how is somebody who did that mess to my forefather got the nerve to feel a certain type of way?
Proxies, and you will pay the price. Is it clear? Believe
no.
me.
No, I don't actually think it is clear.
Very, very, very sternly.
Hey! Oh my God, y'all. This guy is a prominent, is not really politician from the Likud party. The same party that Shitanyahu is a chairperson for. Y'all, these motherfuckers are fucking weird. I ain't never seen such weird fucking energy. The energy that's coming out of them is fucking weird. The cockiness is weird. The whole thing is weird. These are the weirdest people I've ever seen, these Zionists. I don't know what the fuck energy that is. But now you're threatening a country that has nuclear power. That makes a lot of fucking sense. These motherfuckers are gonna put us in World War III, I swear to God. This is wild. America better cut the motherfucking purse strings and the umbilical cord, because the land that was created in 1948 has lost their fucking plum ass mind. I tell you that. The fuck you over here threatening Russia? Are you stupid? Like, who does that on an interview? Weird, man.
Accident, coincidence, or providence? We have awakened to a tragedy this morning. To an historical bridge named after the author Francis Scott Key, who was an author of the text of the U.S. national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. Now, y'all, if this wasn't a planned attack, if it wasn't a planned attack, then you know what it is? It is sure a warning from God to the Star Spangled Banner, to the U.S. of A, to America, as will be the eclipse on April 8th, as this Eclipse crossed across seven cities named Nineveh, a place where Jonah preached warning, turn and repent, warning, or there will be destruction. According to Luke 21, the signs in the sky become manifestations in the earth. Y'all, come on. Our prayers go out with the families. In America, we gotta turn to God. It's time to repent.
Why do white people always get black people shit? Why in the fuck are there pictures of a black Jesus in a vault in Moscow, Russia? No, we're not asking the right questions. See, everyone's excited like, oh, they didn't give us shit. Why do y'all have that? How long has it been there? How did it get there? And what else is down there? I got more questions. Why do white people always get black people shit?
We must be alert this April 8, 2024, as we could enter the 3 days of darkness the Bible tells us. On the 8th of April, the world will witness a celestial event that has aroused both fascination and concern, a total solar eclipse, and it is not just any eclipse like the ones we have seen before, as it will be on the same day as the 3 days of darkness in Egypt. During this phenomenon, the moon will come between the earth and the sun, temporarily obscuring the earth. However, beyond its visual magnificence, this eclipse has stirred up ancient concerns and fears associated with biblical prophecies. In the biblical scriptures, astronomical phenomena are alluded to as warning signs, as the Bible tells us in Joel 2 verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. For many, the eclipse this April 8th awakens memories of ancient beliefs about the end times and divine judgment. In the midst of a world full of uncertainty and conflict, the idea that such a celestial event could be a harbinger of cataclysmic events is a powerful reminder of the end times.
I'm reading Proverbs chapter 11 verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, meaning a pig's nose, so is a fair woman which is without discretion, meaning she does not have kindness in her speech. Dressing up a pig with a gold jewel, it's still a pig. So what does that mean, brothers? It means exterior beauty without kindness in her soul is only decoration. A pretty face without a beautiful soul is hell decorated as heaven. Never make an assumption because she's good looking on the outside means that she got a good soul in Christ. You know what they say about making an assumption. When you make an assumption, you make an ass out of you and umption. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the movie Shallow Hal. Shallow Hal starring Jack Black. If you've never seen it, check it out. Funny, funny, but true movie. You'll see a good looking person, but inside the evil as hell. So he got hypnotized. So anybody he saw that was real fat, nasty, but they had a good soul, he saw that person as beautiful because he saw the end of them. So brothers, in this world that we live in, you're hypnotized, you're under a spell. You'll see women with these big fake breasts, big fake booty BBL, a fake face with makeup and spider eyelashes. Her soul is evil as hell, bro. I'm telling y'all straight. She's based her whole look upon a drag queen, a demon. And you find that beautiful. That's why a lot of you brothers end up with trainees. A lot of you brothers end up with trainees. Why? Because you're in love with a drag queen secretly. That woman with the BBL, the fake breasts, the fake face, that is a spiritual demon. What they call that? A succubus. You get fooled if you want. You meditate on Proverbs 11, 22, right?
I'm reading Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 8. For some man is a friend for his own occasion and will not abide in the day of thy trouble. Verse 10, again, some friend is a companion at the table and will not continue in the day of thy affliction. That means we got to be aware of our friends and be aware that sometimes men and women will use us for what we have, what we got. I know some of you sisters, you like to write brothers in prison. There's nothing wrong with that. But understand that. Why would you marry a brother who's never met you? You're searching the internet, you see a face you think is cute, you write him a letter. You tell him you got a house, you got a car, you got a good job, you know how to cook. He comes out, he's with you, he wants to marry you. That's not love, sisters. Understand, that's not love. He's using you for what you got. And when you fall on hard times, you're going to see the real him. Some of you brothers already understand that. Y'all saw the movie The Pursuit of Happiness, how the woman broke out on the man when he fell on hard times. Some people just use you for what you got. Don't be afraid to lose people who are not truly grateful and sincere to having you around. Now meditate on that. Hey, I was just checking out Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, where it says, not that I speak in respect of want, meaning lack, for I have learned in what sort of state I am therewith to be content. Now, we got to learn about being content, especially you sisters. Be content with what you have. The Lord has blessed you. Some of you sisters, you got a child, baby daddy don't want you, don't want the baby, but you found a brother who's willing to marry you and take care of your child. That's not his. Now, some may call that brother a simp, but he's content with you, you was content with him. But then you decide one day, you think you deserve a high value man. He got to be 6'6", he got to have a six pack, and he got to be making six figures. Meanwhile, based upon your shoe size, what are you, sis? You are 5'2", 220 pounds, and got three teeth in your mouth. You can't make this stuff up. So anyway, she finds a dude that's sexing her and giving her the D better than, oh boy, I guess. So she decides she's gonna leave the man that married her, took her child in, and go with homeboy. Which she does. She leaves homeboy, goes over here to this other dude. Homeboy comes to the door and says, hold on there. I didn't say I was marrying you. Now I just wanted to, you know, that's all it was about, the sex. But I'm not marrying you, and I sure as hell ain't taking care of nobody else's kid. So guess where homegirl is now? Homeless. Oh, no, living in a shelter. She's in a shelter. You can't make this stuff up. Sisters, get your mind right. Brothers, be careful of some of these alley cats you're taking into your home. Taking care of them, and because some of these sisters ain't right. Y'all meditate on that.
Hey, I was reading Proverbs 17, verse 22. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit driveth the bones. Now, there's two meanings in there. Number one, for the individual. When you have a happy spirit, a happy heart, that's like medicine to your soul. But if you got one of those depressed spirits, sad spirits all the time, it will dry your bones. Now, that's the internal initial thought. But what about when you got that brother or that sister? You want that brother or sister to come around with a merry spirit. Your spirit feeds off that. Spirits feed off spirits, believe it or not. You see a happy spirit, that happiness translates to you. And you in a good, you know, some people come around, you in a good spirit, you in a good feeling. But then you got those other dudes, those other sisters that come around always sad, depressed, got a problem from sun up to sundown, from day in to day out. Man, ain't nobody got time for that. They will suck your spirit. I call them spiritual vampires. Stay away from spirits like that. Stay away from those depressed spirits. It will dry your bones. It will suck your soul. Mark my words. I'm in Proverbs chapter 15, and I'm going to start at verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuses the instruction despises his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Now, let's talk about correction, even criticism. You could throw that word in there. There's several types of criticism. You got healthy criticism, which is meant to build you. And, well, let me say it this way. It points out your flaws, but gives solutions to those flaws in your character, your habits.
Now, destructive criticism gives no solution. It simply points out your flaws in an overt way. It's meant to destroy you. I say this. Take criticism seriously, but not personally. Again, I'll also add to that, don't take criticism from anybody you would not take advice from. I'll give you a story. My sister wants to get married. She's talking to her brother. I tell her, he ain't ready yet. His spirit is off. Something's wrong with him. Now, I don't know what it is, but give it time, it's gonna come out. Well, she felt that I was being overly critical. She up and marries the brother. You know you hard up, horny, desperate sisters. Your clock is ticking, sisters. So she marries the brother. And he has a gambling problem. He likes to spend money exuberantly and on the wrong things. Money's going down, so she begins to criticize him. But she does give solutions. I give her that much. But what does he do? Anytime she criticizes, he takes out a gun and starts to put bullets in and put bullets out. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that seems kind of a threat to me. Sister comes back to me. I said, what I say? I warned you about that thing right there. I warned you, but you so horny, you so desperate. Now look what you got. Think about what I said. Meditate.
This is not an ordinary eclipse. There have been reports of government officials and news stations telling us to stock up on food and water. The question is, why would a solar eclipse cause me to need 3 days of food and water? I believe that our government officials know more than what they're saying. Could it be perhaps that they're preparing for the solar eclipse to cause a Carrington event? The Carrington event happened in 1859 due to a solar storm interacting with the Earth's magnetic core. Researchers predict that if another Carrington event were to happen, it would affect satellites, communication networks, and our power grid, which would explain the need to stock up for 3 days of food and water. Could this be a sign letting us know that they aren't sure if this event will actually cause a solar storm or not? Could this be their way of telling us prepare just in case? Or is this message just a way to say, I told you so, I told you it could happen when it does happen?
We're developing a society because of all of these different toxins known to affect brain function. We're seeing a society that not only has a lot more people of lower IQ, but a lot fewer people of higher IQ. In other words, a dumbing down, a chemical dumbing down of society. So everyone's sort of mediocre. That leaves them dependent on government because they can't excel. We have these people of lower IQ who are totally dependent. Then we have this mass of people who are going to believe anything they're told because they can't really think clearly. And very few people of very high IQ who have good cognitive function who can figure this all out. And that's what they want. So, you know, you can kind of piece it together as to why they are so insistent in spending so many hundreds of millions of dollars of propaganda money to dumb down society.
Why did Vladimir Putin tell American citizens never to give up your guns? Why? I'll tell you why. This is how they disarmed Australia and Europe and China and Japan and all of these other countries that have no way of fighting back bullet for bullet with the government. Let me tell you what's going on right now. Joe Biden and them are trying to activate a mental competency team. that says we will confiscate your guns if we feel you a threat to yourself or somebody else. That means every citizen and every American. First off, y'all have to understand something. They power is gone. We all sovereign citizens. The corporation is done. Nobody should be adhering to any laws. They're trying to come and get the guns based on mental competency, but check this out and share this. It's only limited to United States citizens. No migrants are even included. Yes, you heard me correctly. The migrants are excluded for their weapons who are not citizens. They get to keep theirs. They don't even care about their mental competency. It's only for U.S. citizens. You don't find that suspicious? You don't find that suspicious? They're coming to get the guns. And they're going to do it quietly. They're not going to make this known. They're going to start going to pick people up slowly but surely and ask them about mental competency. Y'all better pay attention and stay woke. Remember, Joe Biden told you they was coming to get the guns. If you give up the guns and you let them take your guns, it's game over.
To gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal, period.
To gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon.
This is bad news, guys. Vladimir Putin just told U.S. citizens to never give up their guns. First thing first, this is for entertainment purposes only. Putin's warning why Americans should never give up their guns. Well, for one thing, if you ever give up your guns, you give up your rights to fight, to defend yourself, to defend your family. You never know what's coming. So nobody should be giving up their guns. Because that's when they're just going to come into your house and take you out without a fight. Protect your rights as a U.S. citizen. And you want to know what's more crazy about this? This does not apply to the migrants. The migrants don't have nothing to do with this. Only U.S. citizens have something to do with this. So why would Vladimir Putin from a different country tell USA citizens to never give up their guns? There's a reason why. Now, don't get me wrong. None of us should be in the streets using them incorrectly or for no reason. But to defend yourself and defend your family from what's about to come, I think everybody needs to keep them. Like I said, this is for entertainment purposes only. This is bad news, guys. They might be coming for your guns. So be careful and stay solid, because you never know. You never know what could happen. Trust nobody.
Y'all, 140 plus Democrats have demanded the Department of Vet Affairs began using state gun confiscation laws to disarm veterans. I'm so sick of how they treat the veterans in this country. Here's the letter if you want to pause and read, but right down here where they're urging the department to take several actions to protect veterans. First, we ask you to commit to creating an automatic process to seek a judicial order for veterans the department has found to be mentally incompetent. And they want to enter them into the NICS background check system. They don't use it once. They call them mentally incompetent twice. Our government is a disgrace.
Now, y'all hear all this going on, fam. Y'all hear how they trying, how they try to do all this flim-flam and flam-flam and all this. This is the mindset that I be want y'all to be hearing, y'all. This is the mindset that y'all need to be on, y'all. How can people go out here and take care of our country, be the comforter to us as a nation, and then be able to go out here and kill everybody else? When you come home, you got the freedom to bear arms, and they trying to take your freedom away, and you serve this country in the name of the Constitution. Told you. And now they keep on wanting. That's why I be telling y'all young people, why y'all going into the military and you seeing how they molested the guys that been in the military? Oh, because the military, they gonna grant you craziness or anything. Why is they messing with that? We got people hungry on the street and all this. Why is this got to be a thing now? Why all this crisis coming out? Because they already know, the guys in the military already know how to do this fighting, for this fighting thing. They already know. They know this combat. They know how they coming. They know how to do this and do this flanking, right flanking, middle flanking, all this other stuff. So if they got the guns, they gonna make they gonna make it worse. Now why are they doing the immigrants and letting the see? It's some sneaky stuff going on here, fam. You looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm telling you and showing you the stuff that they saying out here. So everybody crazy and you normal. All right. And we seeing these things and y'all ain't making it make sense. Make it make sense then. Why are they asking them? Because y'all got the guns and the immigrant don't. Oh, that's theirs? Do we have the Constitution to have bare arms? What? See, that's what I'm saying. They dumb down our IQ. I let you hear that. How they said how they dumb down our IQ so much that we grew dependent on something that is not good for us. Well, we didn't be independent. We still stolen property, black man and black woman. Latino man and Latino woman, and Native Indian man and Native Indian woman. We're still in captivity anyway. Some of this stuff doesn't apply to us because we're in captivity, but it still affects us. We got to realize this, man. We got to see how wicked it get. I've been telling y'all, the earth is handed to the hands of the wicked. Now these people going out here fight for their country, do all they had to do, and when they get older or feeble or something happened while they was doing their job, then you want to dismiss them on everything. America, how is that a good look to the people that want to be in the military? How is that going to be a good look? And if you're thinking, man, oh, I want to go in the military and just get me a career and all this, and then at the end of it, I get the benefits. You already seeing what they're doing with the benefits. You already seeing for the people. And the people that you go in the VA and all you got to do is just talk to the VA, the people in there waiting on their treatment. All you got to ask them and talk to them. They'll tell you the truth. They'll let you know some like it and some don't. And just listen to, and then you weigh it out what's the best point and what's good.
Thank you. marching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I made a promise, can't nobody take it. I chose to put you above all the nations. Out of your graves, I chose to awaken. We made a covenant, don't you forsake it. Come get protected while they going crazy. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. I woke you up in your land of captivity. I do not change, I want you to remember me. Laws and commandments, I gave you the remedy. Go read the testimonies for your memory. I sent them prophets, but you wasn't hearing me. I come to you if you really come near to me. I heard your cry, now it's time to take it. I know what got you from all of your enemies. Ooh, you know, open the sea. Them waters were bitter, but I made it sweet. In case you ain't know how to swim, I'm your protector, so I made you walk on your feet. This a reminder you married to me. I just want you to be all I called you to be. They called you niggas, but I made you priests. I'm about to give you back everything. I'm sending plagues for you. I'm sending boys, drying up rivers. I leave them dead for you. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. For you. You only have I known. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name in it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel. I'm the reason you in captivity. We made a covenant, you ain't remember me. You broke the covenant, I sent your enemy. Get out my land since you wasn't fearing me. I'm the reason they put you in chains. I'm the reason they switched up your name. I'm the reason why you in the hood. I'm the reason of all your pain. I'm sending flows fast, daily. Think I don't love you. Y'all my babies, ain't my son. Must be crazy. Come out that system, come out of that lane. They got that military, it would not faze me. It would not move me, it would not graze me. Remember Egypt, I did all that for my people. You only ever know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name in it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. You only ever know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name in it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel.
Hey fam, what's up? This is Fades. I want to thank all y'all for coming in and listening to me. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. And thank you. You can reach me at Fades380, or you can come and join me at anchor.fm/Fades5. That's where you can join my little rendezvous in a thought or process as we ride down the road to the world of destruction. Come in and join me. If you got a comment, you can post it at the bottom. You got a voice that you want to be heard, just send it to my Instagram. Fades380. Everybody do their part, and the world can be a better place. I ain't here for no drama. I ain't here for no problems. I ain't here for no static. I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. And I'm here to learn.